Hey, you're listening to the Prime Culture Podcast. This Prime Culture is for the dreamers, the schemers, and the believers. We're here to introduce a whole new generation to the abundant life. We're here for the prime of our lives.
Okay, hey, welcome back to the Prime Culture Podcast, where Jesus is king and he doesn't care about your preferences.
He don't.
Let's go, somebody. Hey, no, for real, it's good to be back in the room with my favorite people, prime people, God's people, my people.
That's right.
Let's go. Diana, you look great today.
Thank you.
I like your shoes. They're so cute.
Thank you.
I got Adidas on also.
Oh, nice.
Hey.
You have Adidas boots?
I don't.
Those are fire boots. I'm so happy you bought those.
Thank you, bro.
He tells you every time.
Yeah.
Because it took him long enough.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys that when I give you like I'm not saying I didn't buy those for you, but like I don't want to tell all our business.
But don't tell our
business.
No. But like I think it was Christmas or your birthday.
Yeah.
And I sent him some little something for his birthday, and I was like, but I want you to buy the boots.
Yeah, it's because I told him that I wanted to buy these boots.
Is for this.
Yeah. Well, I said this is towards the boot fund.
Yeah.
Right? And then like a month or two passed and he still had enough boots. I'm like, bro, how come you haven't got the boots yet, dog?
Yeah, to be sure. I feel like you think about things.
I do.
Like, make sure, and then you do the purchase. I'm the opposite. I just buy everything, and then I'm like, shoot. And then I start returning.
I'm so grateful you finally confessed that out loud.
These are my
confessions. Just talked about repentance last night.
I am believing for freedom in Diana's life.
Hey, I haven't bought anything.
Do you return?
Today. My God.
Yeah, I'm great at returning.
Yeah.
Like, pro. And that's how we make our money back.
That's how you make profit.
Hey, I made money back. How? I returned what I bought.
Yep. Now we're good.
Bro, you are of your father the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. No, man. I think it's funny though, right? Because I was that guy though. When I gave you the gift, I was like, but I want you to do it on my terms. Y'all are funny looking at me like, bro, the setup came too soon. The setup is super fast.
No.
Yeah. Have you ever had someone buy, they got you a gift, but then they're like, they give it to you and it's nothing you would ever use, but they're like, I really wanted you to have this.
I have a very funny story with Pastor Jerry. He bought me a pair of boots and he was like so honest. He was like super generous. He bought me a pair of Doc Martin boots. He bought me like this pair of designer. Hopefully he doesn't get mad. No, he won't. But he bought me these boots that I would never wear. And he told me, but I want you to tell me if like you're not going to wear them, I'm okay if you go return them, then buy the ones you want.
Oh, okay.
He gave me that freedom.
Oh, that was good.
And then I said, Pastor Jared, I will 100% change these boots. But I will buy the same boots, just a different color. It was just a color. I had a designer thing because Pastor Jared loves very unique things.
Like, yeah.
Just like it has to look completely different than everyone else's. And I just wanted some black boots. But he did the opposite of what you're saying.
He didn't tell me how. The option.
Yeah. I would have never worn those boots.
I feel like I get offended, right? It's like, how come you not wearing what I gave you? Bro, one time I gave a guy, I went through a Timberland phase like 7 or 8 years ago, you remember?
Hey, they're back though.
Are they?
Are they?
I should have saved them.
I think they're back, yeah.
Bro, yeah, we should have saved everything.
I was before my time. I was ahead of my time.
I'm low-key saving Doc Martens because I feel like they're going to come back.
Oh, bro, 100% they're coming back.
Yeah,
well, some people would argue in the comments that they've been back.
I was going to say.
Not yet.
I don't think they ever go away. It just depends where you want to wear them.
It's just never, I don't think it's ever the wrong time to wear a pair of Docs.
I think so. Yeah, I agree.
So I bought a pair of Timberlands, right? Because I was just like, I don't know, I was in a weird era. And I wore them one time and it didn't work. Like, some people look dope. I look like a lumberjack.
I
look like Paul Bunyan.
So I gave
him to somebody, right? He grew up in Mexico.
I know.
Yes.
He's like an old American folk.
But he doesn't know. Do you know Spanish worship? See, because that's very odd. You grew up in Mexico, but you never knew Spanish worship.
No, because I was Catholic.
Exactly. Yeah. That's so different.
But okay, he knows Los Bukis.
Yes, I do.
Hey, let's go.
I can probably still sing all those songs. Sorry, I keep interrupting you.
Marco Antonio Solís.
Yes, sir. My dad had every cassette.
Come on, I don't know who that is. Come on now.
And I'm talking about cassettes. I'm not talking about CDs. My dad had every cassette.
That's a throwback.
Ooh, cassettes.
Super Mexa on the Prime Culture Podcast.
Yeah.
So I gave him to a dude, right? I was like, hey, I want you to have these. He's like, okay. right? And then like months would go by and I was like, hey, how come you never wanted to, you never wore the Tims? He's like, bro, I didn't want them. That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
That's funny.
So we've been talking about this thing on how we approach the Lord, right? Like, and I think what we do sometimes is rather than we be the people who give the gift, we actually say, this is what I want.
Mm.
We tell the gift giver, this is what I want. Which actually, well, low key, that kind of works for me, right? Like if you're gonna give me if you're gonna give me something for my birthday,
money? Let me give you a list.
I wanna give you my Amazon wish list.
Yeah.
Which that's kind of crazy. Dude, my girls.
No shame.
No shame.
Yeah.
Bro, they send people in our family the Amazon wish list link.
Not even people in our family, Prime Culture aunties and uncles.
Bro.
Their wish list.
The moment someone asks, like, hey, what do you want for Christmas?
Uh-huh. Oh, I got you. Say less.
You have AirDrop?
Yep. Chloe asked me, Dad, can I put it on the Discord? I was like, what's wrong with you? Yes. No. No, but I think what happens is whenever you have a wish list, man, like this would happen to me all the time. I would have like these preconceived notions of what I wanted. And then when Diana wouldn't like meet those notions, like on my birthday, like birthdays.
Like in his head.
Yeah.
Birthdays
was the worst days. If you know the other end of that lyric, you're a real G. But birthdays were the worst days, right? Because like I would have like these unspoken or unrealistic expectations and obligations that I would project on her. And then she wouldn't meet them. And I'm like, bruh, this is the worst day ever. And I would legit crash out. Legit, yes or no?
Yes.
Total.
Mm-hmm.
Total.
Like it wasn't good enough, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hated nothing his much. Birthday. I was all nervous. I'm like, I don't know what you want.
Yeah, it was a thing, man. You know, but I think there's something about unmet expectations that just make you sick,
mm-hmm.
right? Like these really, really unmet expectations. And I had a conversation the other day with somebody and I said, I think you and I have talked about this before, but I said, man, maybe your offense and your hurt with God is because he just has, you have unmet expectations mm-hmm. that he never said he was going to give you that.
Yeah.
He never said that. And he what happened is you were doing all this stuff to try to like almost like bribe him
right.
or obligate him to like give you your Amazon wish list. And he's like,
no, yeah.
Who said that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of young adults, we just think that God wants us to be happy. And so he wants to fulfill my every desire and he wants me to have it all and how I want it, you know? And that's, yeah. I think, an issue of Western church is that we really think that God just wants us to be happy.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like God wants to make you happy. What's our take on that?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Well, oh, man.
Well, first of all, it's not biblical.
Ooh. Uh-oh. Talk about it.
I mean, the Bible talks about how he wants us to be holy and whole. I don't see happy in the Bible. I see joy. I see that the Lord wants us to put on joy.
Yeah.
But I don't see in the word where he says, oh, I'm going to make you happy and fulfill all your dreams.
Jesus.
Well, I think the moment that Jesus foretells you that you're going to have tribulation, automatically
he warns you.
he is eliminating good, like all good happenings from taking place. Because being happy, you freed me with this thing that happiness is depending on a happening.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the moment Jesus says you're going to have tribulation, he's already saying not every happening around you is going to make happy. You feel positive about it.
That's very good.
So to me, yeah, I don't think that is what we should be looking for. To come out of a relationship with God or to come out of like, I don't know, like
Christianity,
our prayer or just our expectations.
Yeah, I agree.
I even think like our expectations should be aligned with his expectations.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Like the more that I walk with the Lord, the more I want for him to place in me what he would want out of me.
Right.
And the more I align there, the more satisfied I feel. I don't feel happy all the time,
100%.
But I feel satisfied. I feel
100%.
Full. 100%. I feel like my life has meaning and purpose. I got a reason to wake up every day and every day don't feel happy.
Yeah. Right.
Psalm 37:4, I think is one of the most misunderstood, misconstrued verses in the Bible, especially by Western Christianity and like evangelical Christianity sometimes. delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart.
Yeah.
Right? So I think from a very selfish, self-absorbed point of view, it's like, if I do what God likes.
If I follow the Ten Commandments.
If I delight, if my life delights him, he will delight me, right? Which doesn't sound bad at first glance, right? But I think it's that statement, the desires of my heart, right? So it's, it becomes, if we're not careful, it becomes immediately transactional.
Right.
Immediately. Look what I did for you. What have you done for me lately?
Right.
Right? And this is why I think more and more I'm just pushing people to like, hey, do some word study. Just some basic concordance, some basic just etymology. Just study the origins and the derivatives of a word so you can understand what's happening, or just basic inductive study, which is what, where, when, why, who. And so when you, if you do a, if you just do a quick word study, the word delight in Aramaic has doesn't really mean to please you, right? It literally means to tidy up. Right? Think about how you feel when your house is tidy.
The best.
Right? You know? And what the psalmist is saying is when you allow the Lord to order your life and to tidy up your life, he'll place the right desires into your heart, right? It's not this thing like, look what I've done for you, now you should do for me, which I think sometimes we just leverage it that way and we feel like God owes me or God is obligated to give me something. I was talking with a, with a young person this weekend, and I gave her a response that kind of like, she looked at me like, what? Right? She goes, hey, you know, since I started following Jesus, I've just had some real hard, hard moments with my family. And now, mind you, I have some equity here, right? It's not just a new person, right? No, I don't think I would do this with a new person. But she just said, you know, I've been taking on my development, my devotion, my discipleship, just to another degree. I'm really doing my best to live aligned with the Word, aligned with the values of the Lord, aligned with the values of my church. I'm the only one that comes to church here, and you know, my family was okay with it while I was casual, but now that I'm becoming more committed, they're really, really just, man, it feels like persecution, she said. And I said, oh my gosh, you're so blessed, right?
Oh, wow. I know what you did.
I go, oh my, you're so blessed. And she goes, why? And I said, dude, like, you know, the word said, Jesus, it's in red letters. The master said, consider yourself blessed when you are persecuted for my name's sake. Right? And so I think the connotation and the context of just that right there, happy, blessed, it's very, two very different things when you look at it through the lenses and the optics of the gospels and the lenses and the optics of modern Western perspective.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that the more we come into alignment and come to terms with, you know, the blessing of the Lord, the goodness of God, all of that comes at on his terms,
right,
and not mine.
That
right?
You need to say that one more time.
Yeah. And I think when we are aligned with his word, then his terms become okay with us.
But I really mean it. Like, I think that statement that you just made, like, I think it'll take a while to process, especially those of us that have been in America for our entire life, or in the Western Church, is the goodness of God, you said the blessing of God. What does it just say?
And the happiness that we live.
It comes on his terms.
It comes on his terms. Yeah.
And I think.
What does that mean? Like, I'm sorry. I just think that's a beautiful statement. Like, I think we try to define what the goodness of God looks like every day. And that's why we're disappointed with the expectations we have.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think we try to define what, like, the blessing of God looks like.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
And that's a question I never asked myself as a young adult. Like,
for sure.
What are the terms of, like, what does that look like?
Yeah, so let's use the word blessed.
Yeah.
Right?
Blessed.
So I'll take, come on now, Fred Hammond.
He knew one.
You know that song? How do you know that song?
I know random ones.
Shh, man.
Bro. Anyway, let's go back to
the It was the first time in the history of the pod. I'm so proud of you.
Listen, as you're listening, look,
but you said it out loud.
Let us just be a blessing to your life. We'll do a little bit of gospel cultural exchange. Go and either Apple Music or Spotify. If you're on Pandora, make sure you have your grandkids come pick you up. Right, but the song is Blessed by Fred Hammond, H-A-M-M-O-N-D, and Radical for Christ. Fred Hammond, Radical for Christ. You're welcome.
Well, hallelujah. Bless yourself.
Blessed. It's one of my favorite songs, bro. That's me too. Like Sunday morning for me, Sunday morning playlist, Blessed is on there. Blessed. For sure. Yeah. 100%. So you take the Sermon on the Mount and you take the beautiful attitudes, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, right? Blessed. And so the Lord is saying blessed. So watch, a couple of things that I just want to put into your mentality that we have to redefine. These are his terms, mm-hmm. right? I'm coming more and more, let me say it from a place of testimony, not a place mm-hmm. of dissertation in theory. Testimony, what is the Lord doing in me right now? The Lord is doing in me right now is bringing me the realization that if he never does another thing for me,
come on,
he has already done everything. Enough in the giving of his son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
If he never does another thing, mm-hmm. everything in the text points to Christ. Every thought of blessing, every thought of redemption, every thought of destiny, every thought of calling, every thought of purpose, everything, he is the chief cornerstone on which hinge the law and the prophets, the apostles. It all hinges on Jesus. So if I'm building a construct of blessing, a construct of fulfillment, a construct mm-hmm. of completion, a construct of discipleship that doesn't hinge on Christ is everything, then I'm building a construct that is built on my definition
right.
and built on a God of my mm-hmm. making
Come
and
on.
My design than the God of the Bible seen through the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think does that make sense? I think they're going to have to press pause on that to truly understand and digest that. Because I feel like as we've matured, we're barely getting it.
Sure.
You know? So
sure.
I think like pause and try to really internalize what he just said.
Yeah. So what does that mean for me? What does that mean for me? That means that he gets to say what blessed is.
Right.
He gets to say that, not me, mm-hmm. right? Because I'll look at my life, I'll open up my bank account, I'll look at my life compared to other people, and I'll say, I'm not,
right?
Which to all of the believers, everyone who is blood-bought, born again, you consider yourself a disciple of Jesus. Think about what we're saying every time we say, man, I'm not blessed, but one day I will be.
Yeah.
That's saying that what the Lord has done for you up to this point is not enough. And here's the truth, though. It will never be enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You will always have a poverty mentality. In terms of the things of the spirit and inevitably the things in life mm-hmm. when Christ is not enough, right?
Yeah.
So I have to accept his terms. That's what you wanted to unpack a little bit.
Yeah.
So what are his terms? So if I'm thinking about being blessed, the blessed, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount gives descriptions, not prescriptions. Mm. What does that mean? He describes your condition already when he says, blessed are,
mm-hmm.
right? Not a prescription saying,
so that
hey,
you can be blessed.
Right. If you exactly. do this, then you'll be blessed. Yeah. If you do this, you'll be blessed. The law was prescriptive.
Mm-hmm.
If you do this, you'll be blessed. The law of Moses, the law of grace through Christ is you already are, so this is why you behave this way,
mm-hmm.
right? So the concept of being blessed is this. By conviction in the determinant of faith, I believe that I am everything and I have everything that I will ever have or need in Christ. I am made whole and full, wanting nothing because of what Christ has done for me already. So I live from a place of blessing,
right.
not pursuing
blessing.
A blessing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If I cannot see, I heard a man of God say this years ago and it blessed me. He said, if you cannot see your blessing in Christ and the fulfillment of blessing already, Christ is the implication of the gospel, not the imperative mm-hmm. of the gospel. The implication is the gospel does something to you.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes we think about the imperative, the gospel, I do this because of the gospel.
Yeah.
But before you can ever live the imperative of the gospel, you have to receive and understand the implications of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
He says, and so if you cannot see that you are already completely, fully blessed because of the implications of the gospel, as you pursue your life, you will always live one season behind your blessing.
Yeah.
One season behind, but you're always going to be chasing
yeah.
blessing rather than having allowed the blessing to have already overcome you. Yeah. Does that make sense?
And you can never sit in the seat of gratitude. You can never sit in the seat of like full immersion of the Lord's grace and gratitude, because you're always like searching for something else, or like, oh man, but him, but her, what, you know,
yeah,
that comparison.
Absolutely.
Just all these images are coming into my head. I'm telling you that something you said just rocked me.
But does that
because if we're looking at Abraham, you know, that's the actual, the first, like, I guess, written statement that we hear from God saying, like, I will bless you and you will be a blessing, right? Mm-hmm. All that he experienced was on the Lord's terms. The manna in the wilderness,
the Lord's terms.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you look at along the way of people that have been blessed in the Bible that we would call blessed now, everything was on the Lord's terms. Right. He defined what success looked like.
Right.
He defined what enough looked like. In the manna idea, like for the people of Israel, like it wasn't enough to just have a little cup and take it home. But he said, that is enough, and that should be enough for you. And I'm just thinking, like in my head, I'm like, how many of us are calling something not enough when the whole time the Lord is saying, that is enough for today. That is enough for this season. That is enough for your 20s. That is enough for your 30s. Not in terms of like, God wants to take something from you, but the identity or the definition that you are already blessed. And I wonder how we would live our lives as young adults in the Western Church in 2026 if we live from that perspective, like, I'm blessed.
Well, I think what happens is you're able to go into the life cycle of what blessing is, right? So let's take that perspective that we're convinced that in Christ I'm already blessed. So then conceptually that should free me of ambition,
mm-hmm.
right? Or not that ambition's wrong, but ambition with the wrong focus, ambition to say, I'm pursuing that so I can become, mm-hmm. right? I'm striving. That's the right mm-hmm. word. Mm-hmm. I'm striving. I'm pursuing that. And when I become that,
then I
can, right? Versus everything that I am, 1 Corinthians 15, I am by the grace of God.
Yeah. Right.
Everything that I am, I am by the grace of God. And I'm already all of that fully and completely. The moment I received Christ, I received the fullness of the Godhead.
Yeah.
Right? So what's at work? The power of the Father, the redemption of the Son, and the working and the direction and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Right? I can't have Jesus and not have the Holy Spirit. Right. Which, let me push pause there real quick and parenthetically insert. If you've been wrestling with, man, I've never spoken in tongues, so I don't have the Holy Spirit. That's bad doctrine. Yeah. Yeah. That's completely unbiblical. You can't get one without the other two. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are the Holy Trinity. They are individual, but they're one in essence, individual in expression, right? But if you get the Father, you get the Son. Jesus said, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, mm-hmm. right? And the Spirit bears witness of all three. So what am I saying? I'm saying keep walking out your journey of faith. The baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues will come, right? But it does not determine your worth or your value as a son of God, as a daughter of God. I would say this: yes, desire the gift of tongues, but also pursue the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Which is, I would say, probably is more practical every day. Oh man, I'm gonna get rocks thrown at me. They're equally necessary. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But watch, the baptism of the Holy Spirit through speaking in tongues edifies me, mm-hmm. right? And that's biblical. It edifies me. But the fruit of the Spirit edifies my friends.
Everybody around me.
It edifies my family. Mm-hmm. It edifies my coworkers. It glorifies Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? It does, it right? So anyway, right? So you get all three. So what does that mean? That means that the moment you're born again, you are complete, full, lacking nothing in Christ. So imagine you carry that point of view and that perspective as a 21-year-old Starbucks barista,
mm-hmm.
right? And mm-hmm. you're just like, rather than saying, oh man, this job sucks, but one day I'm gonna be rich and famous and blah, blah, blah. And now you squander this opportunity that the Lord has given you with interacting with hundreds of people on a weekly basis, you know, you're being faithful with little things, right? You're now stopping blessing. You're now becoming a puddle, like how Pastor Charles says, right? Your life should be a river.
A river, yeah.
But you're just this puddle and you stagnate and you've got all these expectations that they're unmet, and you have this desire in you that one day I will, and one day God will. Mm-hmm. And God's like, I never said that. I already gave you everything that I'm ever going to give you, right?
I was going to say, I just think the power of a life and death we don't talk about that enough, and how it's in your mouth, and how we forget to like speak life into the situation, even though we might not be where we want to be. But I think that stops and keeps us in that puddle that you're talking about, instead of the river of life.
I think to your point, right? I'm not able to speak. I already am a blessing.
I'm
a blessing in this green apron and this $12 an hour job. I am a blessing. They don't know what I'm worth yet, but I know what I'm worth because of Jesus. So I'm going to show up here.
Blood bought, baby.
And look, here's what I'm going to say. The proof that you're blessed is that you are a blessing.
Yeah.
You cannot say you're blessed and not be a blessing.
Yeah.
Right? And so you'll never live this quote unquote life of the fullness of blessing until you understand that the reason he even created blessing is to be bless others through you. Right. And so if I'm constantly in this mentality of scarcity and poverty and less than and not enough, and I'm always striving and pursuing, I become a black hole. I take and take and take, and nothing ever comes out. And that is the antithesis of blessing. That's actually a curse.
Yeah.
You become a curse to yourself and the curse to people around you. Right. So anyway, mm-hmm. I'll come back. I'm kind of on a out here ramble. Right. But so let's bring it back. So I think for you, Felipe, the way to answer the question on his terms, I don't think his terms, when I said that, man, he blesses you on his terms. I don't think that he does that as a tyrant. I think he does that as I understand that you are a person in flux. You're becoming something. So I want to give you something that it's applicable at every stage of your becoming. Mm-hmm. I can be a blessing at $12 an hour, and I can be a blessing at $350,000 a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And nothing changes.
Yeah.
Other than what's coming through my hands.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that kind of perspective will free you from idolatry to
Absolutely.
Any sort of success.
Absolutely.
Or any sort of thing. Like, it'll free you. And no matter what life looks like in the tangibles of this earth, you'll always be blessed.
100%.
And you'll always be ready to be a blessing.
100%.
And I think that's a lesson that is really difficult to learn when it feels like in the earth standard, there's like all around you.
Yeah.
And there's not.
Yeah, and I think social media just amplifies that for our young adults, because they're scrolling and it's like, well, they at 20 and they at 19 and they, and that's where it's like we get thrown off. We didn't have that.
You know what's crazy about that? To that end, the law of seed time and harvest is going to apply to everybody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right. The law of life and death is going to apply to everybody. And sometimes when I listen to like the legitimate entrepreneurs, thinking it was my Bible, whether they know it or not, they're walking in certain principles that are biblical, mm-hmm. right? And so they're speaking life. There's a difference between manifesting. They think they're manifesting, right? That's another conversation for another day. Only demons manifest. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Yeah. Right?
we'll leave that alone, right? But there are principles that are at work, and it's crazy to me how sometimes influencers and personalities that I'm unsure about their stance of faith
right.
are walking in biblical principles better than the people of the book, mm-hmm. than the people who are called mm-hmm. to this thing,
yeah.
you know? And so I think to your end, Felipe, I think really just saying, Lord, I'm going to submit to your terms and conditions.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it your way. My goodness, man.
And I'm going to speak the word.
For sure. I would love to take the next maybe like 10 to 12 minutes. And as we're, you know, just giving some handles, You gave me a thought. Like, I thought we're going to end up in the book of James, because this is the first podcast episode after Culture Night, which, do yourself a favor, go listen to good religion, and we connect your practices with your faith and who you're becoming. I said it this way to our youth ministry on Sunday. I hardly ever get to teach at youth, but I got to teach at youth the Sunday after Culture Night. And I said, man, you've got to check your practices. Your practices create your preferences.
Mm-hmm.
No. I said it this way, your priorities. What's your priority? What's your truth? Do you regard Christ as holy and Lord, right? We were teaching out of 1 Peter 3:15. And the first thing that he, in terms of apologetics, the first thing that Peter instructs us is, you cannot give a defense or a reason for your hope if Christ is not regarded as holy and Lord. So what's he saying? Make sure the priority is right. So I told our students, your priorities determine your practices. Your practices define your patterns. Your patterns determine the person you're going to be, right? And I think that's a big, big, big deal, right? And so, but what I'm thinking about right now is what you said in terms of Genesis chapter 12 with Abraham. And I think there's some really good handles of doing things on his terms, on God's terms, because that is the perfect snapshot of how God does when he brings about his purpose and his plan in the lives of his children.
Yeah.
Right? So Genesis 12, 1, the scripture says, and the word of the Lord came to Abraham.
Hmm.
You can pause right there. Go off. Go, like, let's just take like 30, go off. Like, let's go off on the word of the Lord came to Abraham.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he put the Lord in his right place right away. I mean, he followed on the word and he took what he had and he followed away from his family to a land that he didn't.
I agree.
Which is wild if you really think about it. Because if we think as these Bible characters that they're like kind of fictional almost. This was a real man who just followed God's voice, his word, left everything. Like if we put ourselves in his shoes, could we do that?
Yeah. So let me bring us to like the hyper focus, right? Because you guys are Bible experts and you're running to all the other points already, right? So the big idea there that you're both making is that he gave priority to the word.
Mm-hmm.
He made room for the word of God, mm-hmm. right? And so the word of God comes to Abraham and says, leave your father's house, right? Leave your father's house. Most theologians would say, most scholars would say that Abraham was a man of means.
Okay.
He had a lot. His father was both a priest and a man that was well-respected, right? And the Lord is saying, what I'm going to create in you, this is what I believe, what I'm going to do in you is not going to be through the things that are
connected
to you and the things that you expect. So I need you to leave everything that's familiar to you.
Yeah.
Right? Oftentimes, let me take that back. Not oftentimes, every time. He will say, leave what is familiar to you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you call the first disciples, right? Drop your nets.
Follow me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We said this years ago. I don't know if you remember, right? The Lord doesn't make invitations. He gives interruptions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right?
And he gives orders.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
For sure. So he says, Genesis says, the word of the Lord comes to Abraham. So he makes room for the word, for the voice of the Lord. How do I know I'm on the right path of doing it on his terms? I'm making room for his voice.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right. And I'm not doing this weird thing where like I'm superimposing my voice mm-hmm. or I'm putting the God sticker on my voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And right?
Pastor, I just really feel like God in this season. I feel like I just heard him to tell me to go. I'm just like, awesome. What does the word say?
Yeah.
What is the word saying? You know, okay. Can I just rant for a second?
Yeah. It hit you. I saw it.
here's what's interesting to me. I don't believe the Lord will hurt one thing to bless you in another thing.
Right.
I don't believe that's the way of Christ. I believe that the Lord is a win-win God, right? And so sometimes for me, like in the experiences that we've had, you've had it too, but we've talked through it, right? I mean, you've got a tattoo because of it, right? And it's like—
what does it say?
People will put the will of God or the direction of God and put that label on disobedience and rebellion.
Yeah.
Right.
God's leading me in another direction. So they'll put God, right? They'll put that label on unforgiveness and offense.
Yeah.
They'll mm-hmm. put that label on stubbornness and disobedience. And it's
on
just
what
like,
I want to do.
Right. And we have mm-hmm. a policy here for us as our pastoral team, at Abundant. It's like, man, if someone says that God told them, I'm not arguing with you.
Yeah.
All right, if God told you, why are you asking me, bro?
Exactly.
If God told you.
Yeah, if God told you.
What do you need me for, dog? Like,
I am God told not going to argue with God.
God told you, my boy, right? And so I think what happens is too often we live in this echo chamber and we call it God.
Mm. Yeah, we're hearing our own voice back we're branding it God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so we've got to make room for the Lord, right? So what does that look like? Well, it looks like he's often going to interrupt what you're doing now and ask you to do something that seems so counterintuitive to the thing that you think is going to make your life big. Leave your father's house. Leave every single space and place where you can say, I did it because I had this versus I did it because God did it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal, man.
That's my testimony, bro.
Right? He says, leave your father's house. And then he says, and go to a place that I will show you.
Mm.
Yeah. Right? So he often gives, what's coming into my head right now is like, when we do it on his terms, he often gives you directives before he gives you directions.
Yep. Yeah. We all want the direction, the address, the phone number, the address, where, when, how.
Dude, tell me. And I want to know. I literally had a conversation today. I was in a counseling session, mentoring session with a young lady, and she was just talking about, man, like, Cruz, like, how do I know like that this is the will of God, right? And I seen what was crazy about that perspective is that, like, no matter young or old, we all have that nosy thing. Like, I want to know. And I shared this story years ago, man. Bailey was like 3 or 4. She was little, bro. She was a little bit. And I was praying for her and to go to bed, right? And so she's laying there. I'm praying. I laid my hands on her little head. I'm just praying, Lord, thank you. Thank you that Bailey has a purpose and there's a plan for her life and you have a destiny for her and a calling. And then as I'm praying, I felt her like get unsettled. And she says, like, she's just looking up at me. And as I'm praying, she's looking at me. She goes, what is it? She goes, what is it? I go, what's what? What's my purpose? I wonder, what is it? Tell me, what is it? And I was just like, go to sleep. I don't know, right? But I think we all kind of have that, yeah. Right? Like, I want to know.
The curiosity of humanity.
Absolutely. I need to know. I want to know. But many times, and I shared this with her, tell me if this makes sense, right? Like, you know you're in the will of God, not because you know the details, mm-hmm. but because you're following the directives. Mm-hmm. He's telling you how to do it.
Yeah.
And I took her to, this is one of my favorite things to teach because it's blessed me over the years. If I'm doing it on God's terms, this is going to sound wild, okay? Y'all, like, anchor me if you feel like this is crazy. But I don't know that God cares so much about certain outcomes. What I mean by that is, like, whether I was going to be a pastor or a pediatrician, I don't think God cared about either outcome. I think God cared about what I was doing, how I was doing it, and who I was becoming on my way.
Yeah.
Right. There's this scripture in Colossians 3:17 that says, whatever you do, mm-hmm. in word or in deed, do it in reliance and depending on the Lord Jesus, do it in the nature of Christ, mm-hmm. and do it to the glory of Christ.
Amen.
Right. And so I think that there's this, if you want to just kind of have like a check, right? A metric. Am I walking on God's terms? I think sometimes walking on God's terms feels like contradictory because I don't know where I'm going, but I'm hearing, I'm hearing your voice, but I don't know the direction.
Yeah.
But man, if you're living it in a way where you're depending on him, so I'm depending on your direction. I need to hear you. I can't see it, but I'm hearing you. You're constantly leading me. If I'm doing it in a way that reflects the nature of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
To me, the nature of Jesus is a son, right? And so what I shared today with this young adult was, hey, listen, the question you ask yourself is, what would a good son do right now? A good son would trust.
Mm-hmm.
A good son would be patient. A good son wouldn't take matters into his own hands.
Yeah.
A good son would believe his father. Okay. I'm going to do it in the nature of Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then everything that I do, I want to do it to the nature or to the glory of Christ.
Yeah, to the glory.
To the glory of Christ, right? And so
they're bringing him glory.
Right, absolutely, right? So I think if we're doing it on his terms, oftentimes it's going to be counterintuitive.
Mm.
And I don't think it's very much going to look like the blessing of man.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, like it's making me think of, like, in my 20s, like, I never asked myself this question, like, specifically to the time that we're living in right now, when we, the mission that Jesus gave us as believers about saving the lost, right? And empowering the saved to serve and save the lost. Like, as long as we are following in that,
absolutely,
in that order, we are doing things in the correct direction. And for me in my 20s, it was like, it was all the wrong questions, all the wrong metrics, perhaps. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And now that you remove all that, I'm 30 something now, and you remove all that, and I realized that as every time I remained obedient, I actually was always about that. I was always about
unknowingly. That's
unknowingly
good.
When I was doing the things that I didn't want to do, when I was doing the things that didn't feel famous enough or didn't feel important enough, didn't feel like they made enough money. The mission remained the same. I was doing it in the nature of Christ.
Right.
I was doing it in
to the glory of
Christ. I was doing it in the right identity as a son. And now looking at it back, I'm like, I'm so glad I remained obedient.
Yeah.
So to me, I agree with you. I think there is a 21st century kind of way of looking at our life. And we continue, like, I feel like I sound like a broken record, but I feel like if there's anything I would tell a young adult today is, like, we have to become sober-minded of this world because it'll completely blind us to the 60, 70 years we have here. And then we'll just live for those.
Yeah. And it's the truth.
And then when you really remove that veil, then you fully embrace what we're talking about. You embrace life on his terms. You embrace the mission of the gospel. Yes, you embrace a fulfilling life that's blessed, and you have more than enough to be a blessing. But that's all secondary to the main thing.
To the mission of Christ.
So I'm just saying that a 20-year-old Felipe would have loved to hear this.
Well, a 20-year-old Cruz needed to hear this.
I would have stopped playing around long time ago.
I think God has just been so faithful and kind to us as we've grown up and matured, and him leading us and stumbling on his truths and his word. And I think Prime Culture is really blessed to have, I'm honoring you guys as pastors, have strong men to be able to speak God's word. Because a lot of these 20, 30-year-olds really want what you have, which is a wife, a kids, or a stable job. And then maybe to them, they feel like, well, isn't that what I'm supposed to have, right? And I think it's sobering to understand and to know that, even coming from you guys, even if I didn't have that, God still has my heart.
One of my favorite things to say is, something's not an idol in your life when you are able to say, even if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, Lord, for example, like financial success, you want to make a certain amount. Like, Lord, I trust you. Thank you that you're going to make a way for, I don't know.
You supply all my needs. But even if it doesn't.
Yeah. That sounds like a person who really understands that Christ is enough and that they are blessed already.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you need to believe for little. What I'm saying is you're freeing yourself from the opportunity of ever bending the knee to whatever that idol is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just think that's important.
One of the things that I want to throw in here, and it's going to feel like a left turn, but I just feel compelled by the Holy Spirit to mention this. I think that if we're not careful and we don't have a good anchoring biblically, and so here's what I mean. You can hear what we're saying and say, okay, well then I should just not care, right? I should just become passive and just let life happen. And to all of it, God be the glory, right? Mm-hmm. That's not what we're saying at all. What we're saying is not to allow ourselves to become enslaved by the need of our definition and our term of what blessed or success or prosperity sounds like, but to be able to look at every station of life and say, I've done good work for the master, which is, that's what Colossians 3 instructs us to do, mm-hmm. right? You know, obey your masters and do good work, right? In the Message translation, it says, don't think that being a Christian will make up for shoddy work, for bad work, for being a Christian doesn't make up for mediocrity, right? Mm-hmm. So I love how Paul connects that. So having this perspective that my definition of blessing and success is not of this world doesn't mean that I don't live my life impactful in this world.
Right.
What it means is that I view every station of my life as an opportunity to bring glory to Christ, right? The heresy in the first and second century was the Gnostic perspective that all physical life was meaningless.
Was a vain.
And that we were mm-hmm. just spiritual and physical life meant nothing. Right? Your bodies are nothing.
And we're just waiting.
And we're just waiting. And so it's just like, so don't care about physical, because one day we'll transcend and we'll be spiritual. And that's really what matters. And the physical body and the physical things has no real value. That's a heresy. That's not it at all. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians, honor the Lord with your bodies. Mm-hmm. Honor the Lord with the work of your hands, right? So what does that mean? That means that whatever station of life I'm living in, I am able to embrace blessing on his terms to say, everything that my hand touches today, everything that I give my efforts to today, everything that I give my intention and my will to today, I'm going to do it to the glory of Christ.
Yeah.
Right? Right. So for us, let me just put it in our neighborhood, right? I'm going to meet my deadlines to the glory of Christ. Mm-hmm. I'm going to return my emails to the glory of Christ. I'm going to give good customer service to the glory of Christ. I'm going to do my best to be at work on time to the glory of Christ. I'm going to honor my wife to the glory of Christ.
Right,
that right there is living blessed to be a blessing. Yes. Right there. I think to me, that is the crux of living life to the max.
I agree. And basically, if you're listening to this, to me, the way that I would summarize it, if Pastor Cruz is someone you look up to, Pastor Cruz is someone you're like, man, if I could be where he's at when I'm his age, that you would ask Pastor Cruz, because I'm pretty sure you're asked this all the time, but what did you do? What did it tell me? You know, that you would be, that you, the Pastor Cruz's simple response would be it was all in his terms. Like, you might look at my life, you might look at the, what God has done with me, mm-hmm. and you might think there was a certain thing that I did that put me at an advantage or whatever, mm-hmm. and it was all on his terms. And I'm pretty sure if I ask Cruz right now, he's still doing it on his terms. There's probably things that Cruz would love to get into already, would love to be experiencing, would love to, and I don't know if I'm speaking.
That's all good.
But the truth is that as human beings, we're always in that wrestle.
Yeah.
We are just better at saying, at letting that part of ourselves die and say, no, Christ is, there are things that I wish I was experiencing already. There's things I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
There are like prayer requests that I've had for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and it has not made me unproductive. It has not made me lose hope. It has not made me, I guess, just feel like everything's meaningless, but it also has not made me bend the knee to other things that will give me what I want temporarily. I've been living in obedience, and what that means is I'm living in the tension of not surrendering to this world, but being productive, being a man of good works, while also not bending the knee to the thing that I really want. It's so accessible. Like, I could just reach and grab it.
Yeah,
and I feel like that's the tension, especially in America, where we have, it's so easy to be successful, I would say, more than any other third world around. Like, I come from a third world, right? So it is so, like, everyone, I say it all the time, everyone has a brand, everyone has and it's so easy to become enticed by it and then eventually start worshiping it. What do I mean by that? You start giving it your time, your attention, you start giving it all that you are, you start giving it to this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, before you know it, you thought you were trying to follow God's plan, but no, you're bending the knee to this idol that you made for yourself of what life looks like at 40. And all that I'm saying is that in this conversation, what we're saying is that if you do blessing or blessed and on his terms, it will lead you to a productive life. It will lead you to a life that pleases him. And it will also, at the same time, keep you from, I guess, giving your heart away to things that are temporary and just that lead to death in this world. Like, both are true. Two things can be true at the same time.
I agree.
You can be a person that is going to be successful, productive. You're going to, whatever you want, I guess, whatever you believe God's place in your heart, that's attainable, but on God's terms.
Yeah.
I think a beautiful summary of that brilliant thing you just said. Everything you just said was absolutely brilliant. Yes and amen. Colossians says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist, right? The Message translation, I love it. It says, in him all things find their proper place, right? And that includes physical success, professional success.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying either or, we're saying both and.
Mm-hmm.
But on his terms, they find their proper place. Right. And I just want to say this to you as we end our time with you. Listen, if you're looking to the material thing, and if you're looking to the created thing as a thing that gives you identity, as a thing that gives you value, as a thing that gives you a sense of worth, that's a misalignment.
Mm-hmm.
The created thing will burn and die and let us down every single time. Every single time, the created thing. What I'm saying, and what the scripture is saying, what the word is telling us today, is bring those ambitions, those desires, those things, align them to Christ and say, I want them. There's nothing wrong to want them.
Right.
But I don't want them more than you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. They're meaningful. It'd be foolish and disingenuous. It'd be dishonest to say that they're not meaningful. They're very meaningful, but they're not meaningful. More meaningful
they're
than
not,
you.
They'll never be. Yeah.
Right. They do supply, but they don't supply the way you supply.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So in him, right, those things. I'm holding this because I can see like a hierarchy. Right. Like, he's the head, and all things fall in submission under him, and they find a proper place. And when they find a proper place, they're no longer gods. They're resources.
They're tools.
They're instruments that the Lord uses for his purpose and for his desire.
Glory.
Yeah. And his glory. Right. Hey, I hope that blessed you. I hope that helped you. Hey, speaking of good talks, man, in a couple of months, we're going to have some good talks.
Yeah.
August 5th. Through the 7th.
Stop playing.
Come on, baby.
You already missed the deadline.
It's Culture Con.
The early bird.
Listen. We want to be in the room with you for Culture Con. Go lock it in. thisculturecon.com. Get it registered. Get that PTO. Here's a word to the wise. If you can rally with like five of your friends, you can get $20 each registration, group rates.
Just five?
Just five.
Okay, we got this.
I got five. I'm not going to sing that song.
I don't know which one it was.
That's good.
I don't know, you are saved
in Jesus' name. But yeah, man, just five. So we want to see you in the room in El Paso, Texas, August 5th through the 7th. It's going to be a bop. You're going to be watching this episode more than likely before our next Culture Night. Our next Culture Night is on June 19th. It's going to be awesome. What are we talking about? Oh, we're talking about wish dreams, huh? Ooh, it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. Yeah, man. So if you're in El Paso, or if you're not in El Paso,
come through.
Come through, man. We would love to host you. Shoot us a DM and say, hey, man, I'm coming in for Culture Night. And until next time.
Yeah. Love you.
Love y'all. Peace.